Blog Talk Radio.
To welcome you to When Passion Meets Purpose on tonight. I am your host, Leslie Bishop Joe, and we're so grateful that you decided to join us for When Passion Meets Purpose. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's just look to the Lord right now. God, we thank you and we praise you. Please let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. For, oh Lord, you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen and amen. Well, thank you, my friends, for joining us once again. It's such a pleasure to be with you for these 30 minutes or so that we'll share. And I'm trusting that it'll be a time that will be an inspiration to you, an encouragement to your heart as we go forward on tonight. Just kind of piggybacking on what we dealt with last week, if you were with us, and if you did not have a chance to join us during that live broadcast, you can always go back to the podcast and listen to any of them in archives. But last week we talked about, can I really do all things through Christ? And we began to explore what it was that Paul was saying to the saints of God through those passages of Scripture. What does it really mean? Because I know so many have gone through things where we feel like all we have to do is just say a thing, and it's whatever it is that we desire to do, we can do it because we're in Christ. But we want to take a closer look at that scripture and what it really means, and it is really powerful. And there's nothing that God has called you or me to that we cannot accomplish. But at the same time, I just want us to look at that passage of scripture a little bit more closely as we go forward on tonight, and we're talking about I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, or who strengthens me, in Philippians 4 and 13. So tonight we're going to look at it a bit more closely. As we said last week, we talked about what was it that he meant. Was he saying that he could, you know, jump over walls and do all types of things that he could not normally do in his physical being? What was it that Paul was really saying as we are seeking to understand the context of the scriptures? But we do know that Paul began to talk about the things that he had gone through. When we look at the context of the scripture, he talked about being victorious in every situation that he had been in. Now, we're talking about someone who had come through all types of things. And I think we referred last week to some of the things he had endured as we looked at 2 Corinthians 12, but in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28, it talks about Paul having had endured imprisonments. He was beaten many times. He was whipped with 39 lashes. He was sometimes beaten with rods, at least three times beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked at least three times. He spent night and day in the deep, and he was in danger of death numerous times. And the scripture gives us to know, as he said, he was in hunger, thirst, cold, and he was exposed to just many things that came against him. But he overcame adversity. He overcame hardships. He overcame fear. He overcame weakness. How did he do it in order to achieve the mission in his life? Well, Paul came to the realization that he could do all things through Christ. And what he was really saying, as you look there in Philippians chapter 4, he began to share with them, you know, he says, well, whether I am abased or whether I am exalted, in other words, I've learned no matter what state I'm in, therewith to be content. So Paul wasn't making a declaration about being superhuman. No, he was just like you and me. He was one who had to go through many things. I mean, things that we would not even probably be able to fathom, the things that he went through, and yet he stood for Christ. He didn't just say, oh, never mind, enough of this, I'm done with it. And so it wasn't just about him thinking positively, but he was making a declaration that he could do all things through Christ, regardless to the situation that he found himself in. That's the deeper context of this scripture, is what he was saying to those who had come to minister to him was, listen, I've come through all of this. You know, as I just said, that we find in 2 Corinthians 11, I've been through many, many things. But in whatever situation I found myself in, I've learned therewith that I'm to be content. And once I do that, then I realize that the strength of God is mine. He strengthens me, and he gives me the grace that's sufficient for me to go through whatever it is that I have to go through. And so this is what it is that he wanted the saints of God to understand. And so tonight I want to pick up on that because part of what Paul prayed for the saints of God, and that includes you and me, because, you know, prayer is timeless. Prayer supersedes timelines and all of that. We're living off of the prayers of many who have already fallen asleep. You and I are living off of the prayers of those who prayed for us. Many of them, we didn't know anything about the fact that they were praying for us, but yet we're seeing the manifestation of things that they prayed for. So in Ephesians 3 and 16, what was part of what Paul prayed for the saints of God there at Ephesus? He says that God would grant you, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. You see, this is where our strength lies. It's in the inner man through the strength of God. You know, God is our strength. But what he's teaching us, as he's saying we can do all things through Christ, he's helping us to understand that this is a learned state. It's not something that, you know, we as humans are just going to naturally want to lean toward or gravitate toward because it's not our nature. We always want to feel that we can be self-sufficient. You know, that just kind of comes with the territory of being human. But the Lord wants us to be dependent upon him, you know, having sufficiency in him, our sufficiency being in Christ, in that we can do all things through Christ. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you found yourself saying, you know, I can handle this, I'll lean on the Lord for something else, maybe not in those words, but, you know, I've got this, I'll pray about the weightier things. But the Lord wants us to depend on him for everything. And this is a state of learning. But he's saying, when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, one thing about that was that Paul shared in Scripture about having gone through many things and how, you know, the Lord had to bring him to a place where he was not being sufficient in his flesh, but being sufficient in the grace of God and the strength of God. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had a vision, and he had a vision of paradise. And, you know, he was caught up out of his body. And he, even to the extent that he said he did not know whether he was in the body or out of the body, you know, but he talked about himself in the third person. As you go to 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, and he began to talk about what happened. He said, I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, but he was caught up into paradise and he heard inexpressible words, which cannot be lawful for a man to utter. They're not lawful for a man to utter. And so he was saying, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. In other words, he's saying that even in that state, as we go back to Philippians, he'll share with us that, you see, God allowed him to be exalted to the extent that he had a vision of paradise, being caught up, as it were, to the third heaven. Now, who else had that type of testimony, and who else, except they realized that their sufficiency is in Christ, could have such an experience and yet be abased and maintain their head, in other words, and not become puffed up? And this is what he's saying: I can do all things. I can be abased, I can be exalted, and I can do all those things through Christ Jesus, meaning that I have to always have the mindset that it's through Christ that we do anything. Because he goes on in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and he says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Because God was dealing with him in that way, he realized that it was easy to become exalted above measure. It was easy to become high-minded. And he realized that there had been given to him a thorn in the flesh. I'm just kind of paraphrasing here. And that thorn in the flesh was given lest he should be exalted above measure. Now, Paul said that specifically in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. And that's not to say that everything we deal with in these bodies is for that purpose. But there's a lesson in this, as all of this ties into Philippians 4 and 13. Paul prayed that the thorn would pass from him, that it would be departed from him. In 2 Corinthians 12, he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. But what did God say to him? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now watch this. Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, this is the key, that when we're talking about doing all things through Christ, it has everything to do with our position and what it is that God has called us to, that whatever he's called us to is always for his glory and always for the Lord to be exalted and not for us to be exalted. And it's so important for us to realize that whatever it is that he's called us to, he's going to take us through it. Now, we can make all kinds of declarations. That's a part of what we're calling tonight's lesson. When we're moving beyond, you know, just decreeing and declaring a thing and moving toward demonstration, doing all things through Christ, we want to move toward from declaration toward demonstration, because that's what the Lord would have us to do. He's saying here, Paul is, in Philippians 4, he's saying, I want you to understand what it is that I'm saying to you. When you go back up to verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Why is this so key? You know, we make a lot of declarations about God will never lead us, where his grace cannot keep us. You know, with Christ, all things are possible. And all of that is true. It's all true. But God is saying to us, I want you to grasp that in a different way. I want you to grasp that I must be your sufficiency, that you must never come from a place of declaring what your situation is speaking to you, what your situation is presenting to you, what your health is saying about you, or what your health wants to make you believe about you. And then the flip side of that is those who are doing so well. When you look at your life and all that you have, and it seems like you're sufficient within yourself, within your job, within the money that's in the bank, all of that, God is saying, don't put your confidence in that, but understand that self-sufficiency is never the place you're to operate from. It's always divine sufficiency. But knowing that, whatever state you find yourself in, if you can just be content there, something so profound is going to happen. Because once we learn that whatever state we're in, you know, God is not oblivious to it. He knows where we are. Now, this has to do with whether it's financial, whether it has to do with your emotional state, whether it has to do with your physical situation, whatever it is. You know, we say sometimes we're resting in the Lord. We know that the Lord has led us to where we are. But at the same time, when we do that, we'll end up cursing the position that we're in. You know what I mean? We loathe it. We talk down about it, about our condition, about our station in life, as though God has no idea where we are or that we'd be there before we got there. He knows all about it. But he's saying that what I want you to do is, even though you don't understand what's going on with you, just like Paul didn't understand, and he pleaded with God, he told us in the scripture, to remove that thorn from him. But he was experiencing some profound things, magnificent things in the spirit. But at the same time, think about what he was dealing with on the natural side, being beaten, being whipped, being shipwrecked, being left for dead, beaten with rods and left with shame, stripped naked and thrown in jail, all those things. And we haven't endured much of that, I'm sure. But God is saying this: everything has to work out for your good when you're called according to my purpose and when you love me. But what you must understand is I'm wanting you to get to a place where you're content with whatever state you find yourself in, because it's going to be so necessary for the church in the days to come. We cannot find our sufficiency in what we have, in our positions, in where we live and what we drive, none of that, because a day is coming when all our sufficiency has to be in Christ. There's no way that Paul could have endured all that he endured just by, you know, professing some words. No, he had to know for a surety, for a fact, that once he made up in his mind that no matter what state he was in, he was going to be content there. When he was being persecuted, when he found himself naked, when he found himself going through great peril, when he was out on the storm, he found a way to bless God. And when he did that, the power of God rested upon him. Now, this is what's going to confound the wise, is because God is going to use his remnant in this last day in such a way that we will bless him at all times and in all circumstances. When we learn that, and this is a place that we have to learn, we have to learn to abide in this place. When we learn that, we can do all things through Christ, meaning that we don't know what lies ahead for us. But whatever it is, I'm speaking to you, the church, the called out ones. God is saying to you today, no matter what position you find yourself in, therein be content, just as Paul learned. If I use you in ways, and he always will, you know, ways that just totally blow your mind, and they have to, because it supersedes anything that we could ask or think. Anything that God does for us or through us and in us. And so when he does that, he's saying, don't become puffed up. Realize that it's me and stay steadfast in me, because it's only through me that you're able to do anything and everything. So whatever state you find yourself in, when I exalt you And some of you, even as I speak now, God is working some things out where you're about to be transitioned to a place that you never thought of. It's not in your context in terms of your thinking, because God is about to do this thing. God is transitioning and shifting his church, and I know it so. The many things that Paul went through, it had so much to do with preparation, and he knew that. He always did that with his people. God always did that with his people where they suffered, and we don't like to hear that word, and suffering comes in many contexts. It's not just about your physical being, but it's so much about ridding ourselves of the desire to follow after what it is that would be the dictates of our own hearts and our own minds and the flesh, which is always in opposition to our faith. So God is saying, whatever position you find yourself in, Paul said that for a reason, I want you to learn to be content, because once we do that, the power of God can rest upon us, because the world can't touch you. The world cannot entice us with things, with money, with more stuff, when we've learned in whatever state we're in, therein to be content, knowing that we can abide there, we can prosper there, we can be productive there, we can overcome there, we can be victorious there, wherever it is. When we surrender ourselves to Christ, you know, when we learn that, we can do all things through Christ. Because, listen, in some instances, God is going to call us to what appears to be the low place. God is going to call. He has to call someone to the low place. And he needs us to have the mindset that we can do all things through Christ, all things. Whatever state we find ourselves in, we learn therewith, or therein, to be content. And that's a big word. Content means I'm not trying to fight against this thing. I realize that God is in control. It's not just a declaration that I'm making. I'm living my life in such a way that this is what I'm saying. We want to live our lives in such a way that they demonstrate that God is in control. And it doesn't mean that you don't desire nicer things in your life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about life, living life in general. We're going to find ourselves at different stations and positions and levels in life, and it's all orchestrated by God. And when we learn in whatever place we find ourselves therein to be content, then the strength and the power of God can rest upon us, and God can do mighty things in and through us no matter where we are. Now, why is that relevant? It's because so many, you would be surprised, cannot operate or feel as though they cannot operate in the powerful place that God has called them to unless they're elevated, unless they're in a place of prominence, unless they're in a place where everyone can see them and the spotlight is on them. But you see, God makes us often in a place of obscurity, in a place where we're hidden. You got to remember, that's how it was for Jesus. But at the appointed time, he came on the scene. But what was happening? He learned to embrace the place where he was. He wrapped himself in flesh. He was a baby. He was a child. He had to be subject unto parents, earthly parents, even though he was the Lord. Parents, he was and is God. He was King of kings and Lord of lords, and yet he became abased. And he had to be content with doing the will of God. He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. So I have to be abased right now. You know, he didn't snap back at people. We don't find that throughout the scriptures. You know, saying, you know, don't you know who I am? You know, who do you think you're talking to? He didn't just come off at people like that, but he learned in whatever position he was therewith to be content. You see, Paul wasn't the first one to say that and begin to demonstrate it. Jesus had already demonstrated that, and so Paul caught the vision. Paul caught the revelation through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost revealed that to him to speak that so that we, in turn, could live such a life. following after the pattern of our Savior, and in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt, you know, bodily. Understand this. He lacked nothing. He was fully God, fully man. He could have said, you know what, enough of all of this at any time, but he chose to be abased. And the power of God, the Father, rested upon him mightily while he walked in the flesh. And, you know, when we will allow ourselves to embrace wherever it is that God has called us to, and when the will of God becomes our meat, and it's a growing thing. I'm not teaching something because I've attained it. And that's the same thing that Paul said, not that I've already attained, but he was pressing. He was pressing toward this, where we're pressing toward total divine sufficiency, you know, where our eyes are upon the Lord and on the mark and for the prize of the high calling of God. But he's saying, you know, you've got to always, as a child of God, have the mindset that no matter where I find myself, Lord, I'm hurting right now. I don't understand this. Lord, I feel like I'm being ostracized and put aside. Lord, I feel like I'm not being used as I should be used. I don't know what your situation is. Lord, I'm dealing with this emotional situation or mental situation or something in my body or maybe none of that, or things are just so great for me. God is saying, check that. Because wherever you are, whether it be high, exalted, or whether it be a place that appears to be abased, what I want you to do is to always acknowledge me and to understand that you can do all things through me. You can operate there. You can prosper there. You will be victorious there. You will overcome right there. You will be a blessing there because you are blessed, and you're blessed to be a blessing. You are who God says you are. You're not what your life circumstances dictate that you are. And that's the thing that we have to understand, that our birthright is that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That's what he's called us to, is that we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. But we're not greater. We're the servant. We're not greater than the master. And so he had to learn how to be abased, and then he learned how to be exalted. And he's exalted to a place that's above, that's in all names. But what he's saying to us is just that, and I don't know where you are, what you're dealing with, but I'm going to tell you, God wants us never to lean on our talents, our gifts, and those great things that he's going to do through you and through me. And why do I keep saying great things? Is because anytime God operates through this flesh, it's great. It's amazing that God would even put his treasure, which is his spirit, in these earthen vessels. And it's by his spirit that he does anything through you, through me, through anybody. And so we must always keep our eyes focused on him and know that you're never so low that God can't use you. You know, you're never so depleted that the Spirit of God can't manifest himself through you. It doesn't matter about the things we possess. That's what Paul is saying, is listen, understand the scripture is deeper than what you think. It's not about jumping over buildings and running through walls when it says I can do all things through Christ. What he's saying is, can you learn to be abased? Can you learn to be exalted? And in all of that, still keep your focus on Christ and know that all your sufficiency is in him. You know, that's the key in doing all things through Christ, is letting him be glorified no matter where we find ourselves, that as God begins to move through us, we won't depend on our talents. We won't depend on even the gifts that God has given to us. You know, if you have to speak, you must always go to God first. Don't become so self-sufficient. You know, you may be a great orator. You may move mightily under the anointing. But I tell you what, you have to always remember that wherever God has called you to in serving his people, they're God's people. So always, always, you know, look to him. Look to him first. Depend on him. You know, never consider that you've mastered the gifting that God has given. Don't get comfortable in the gifting that God has given, because he may want to go a different way this time. And when I talked about that treasure that he's put in earthen vessels, this is why I'm saying be content wherever we are. That contentment is, God, I'm just content with you. As long as you're with me, I'm okay. And the power of God will rest upon you, and watch what can happen. I told you, you know, generally something profound can happen. And what that is that God is then able to do whatever he wants to do in and through us in any given circumstance, because we realize that our circumstance does not negate or dictate the power of God or his ability to operate through us. And it's amazing what he will do. Just when you think all resources are depleted, God will come through and do something supernatural. You know, we've never had to depend on God perhaps to stretch the bread, you know, 5 loaves, 2 fish, but he can do that, and he did do it, and he did it for a reason, to show that no matter what it is that we're dealing with, if he's in the midst, if he is the focus, if everything that we have is placed in his hands, it becomes more than enough. You know, when we seem little to the crowd, think about this. Everybody said all we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. This little boy here, all we have is his lunch. That's not near enough. But what they fail to realize is the small thing, the insignificant one. The insignificant one put what he had in Christ's hands, and it became more than enough and with overflow. And that's the message he wants to get to the church today. He said, lean times are coming. And you're not going to be able to depend on things, on what you have. You're not going to be able to depend on positions and places that you've served. You're not going to be able to depend on people who said they would always be there, because they may be, but they may not be. But the bottom line is, wherever you find yourself, if you're content in me, you're going to see that the power of God is going to rest upon you, and I'm going to do some things in and through you that you never dreamed possible. Why? Because he's God. And with him, all things are possible. But that's not just something that we decree. It's real. And when we begin to lean on him and trust him, that's when we're going to see it manifest. He wants us to move from declaring things and decreeing things to allowing them to manifest. And how do we do it? It's by really living this and saying, you know what, Lord, where I'm not going to murmur about my position. I'm not going to murmur and complain about how I feel. I'm going to seek you and say, God, what is it that I'm supposed to get out of this? What is my purpose? What is my mission today? You know, wherever we are on a given day, God, show me my assignment for this day. Show me what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. And that's what I want to do. You know, he has a way then of showing up when we least expect it. And he'll do it with great power, because his power will be resting upon us. It's amazing. You know, God will do it no matter what our circumstance. And, you know, I began to think this afternoon, and I'm about to close, I began to think about my parents, just something, a simple example. As I was growing up, we didn't, you know, our family wasn't affluent. We did well. I think my parents did very well, but I'm reminded of them and how the grace of God hid them. In other words, he hid their position. He hid their insufficiency, if there was such, and I believe there was. And I'm saying that to say this. I know there were many times when we might not have had all that we needed, or that my parents thought that we needed, but I never knew as a child that there was any lack. I didn't know that. As I was growing up as a child, in my eyes, I had everything that I needed, everything. And as I began to prepare for this lesson, God showed me that his grace has a way of hiding and covering our position, so that others never see the lack. They don't feel the lack. They don't experience the lack, because we're hidden in Christ, and it's his sufficiency. And whether they acknowledge it or not, you know, I'm not saying that's not what, you know, my parents, I don't know that they knew that. I believe that they knew that God had to have a hand in it. But what I'm saying to you is they never let us see it, and I believe that it was a matter of the Lord covering them and hiding that, and allowing us by his grace to enjoy what we enjoyed growing up. and not experiencing great lack. But there are those tonight or this morning or whenever you're listening to this podcast who are experiencing lack and much lack, who are going through in their bodies with great pain, who have experienced loss and they're hurting because they've lost loved ones and just don't know which way to turn. But what I want to say to you is wherever you find yourself right now, God is saying, call upon me and I will help you to be content where you are right now. And it's so vital because then and only then will the power of God rest upon you, and it will no longer be your sufficiency, but it'll be divine sufficiency. And he's more than enough, and he's going to operate through you. And before you know it, you know, it's going to turn. I know when situations seem so bleak, I know some of you are saying, I don't know how this can turn, but please just trust what I'm saying through the word of God. Some of you may listen and you don't even know me. It's not about trusting me, but trust what Christ has said. Trust what Paul left for us. That's what he was saying to us, that he learned that lesson. He said it himself. I've learned in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. I had to learn it. He had to learn it because he was one who persecuted the church. He had to learn it. He said in Philippians 4:12, I know now, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know everywhere and in all things that I'm instructed. Who instructed him? Christ has given these instructions. Christ has given the instructions. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We're going to suffer need. We're going to suffer some things in this life, and it's all because Christ wants us to realize that all of our sufficiency is in him. Let me tell you, he's more than enough, and God is faithful. He is so very faithful. That's what I want to leave with you in this particular broadcast, is that God is saying, okay, now it's time to move from declaration to demonstration, and you can only do it through Christ. You can do all things. We can do all things through Christ. Doesn't matter what we have or don't have, who's with us, who's not, where we are, where we want to be. We can do it. We can do whatever it is that we need to do through Christ. Amen. So I want you to go back, search those scriptures, and really look a little bit deeper when Christ is saying through Paul that you can do all things through Christ. And guess what? You're going to be strengthened. He strengthens us. And the power of God is going to rest upon your life. God bless you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Join us again next Monday evening for When Passion Meets Purpose.